Hello, it's the Ghost. Welcome to They Call Me the Ghost. If you're a fan of the strange but true happening in our world and the dark and mysterious goings-on, then you are in the right place. Okay, so today we're heading to Florida. Not because of all the things happening right now, although it does sort of have to do with all of that. I'm taking you to Florida during the pandemic. I'm going to be talking to you about two people mainly, Gretchen and David. Gretchen and David Anthony. Gretchen came to meet David as a newly single mom. She was from New Jersey but had relocated. Her daughter was 12. She was 51. She had been married to a man named Jeff for 5 years, but that was over, and she was now raising her 12-year-old daughter. And she actually had help from her first husband, and all was going well with all of that, and she's feeling pretty good at this point. Until 2020, and that's when the wonderful pandemic kicked in.
Last night, the Department of Health announced that there are two presumptive positive cases in the state of Florida.
The virus is now in every county in Florida.
And since she had been feeling good and the pandemic was worrisome, though, she took to Facebook like so many other people, saying things like, hey, the wisest choice is to create peace within you. She clearly didn't want to let the pandemic or any other chaos going on at the time affect the solid base she was trying to rebuild. And that's how life was really flowing along for her. You have Gretchen trying to get her feet back on the ground, feeling solid, still in a good place. She puts up that Facebook post and shows a positive side, trying to keep a strong outlook. But then a week later, surprisingly, she calls in sick to work. No one knows exactly what happened, but what we do know is that Gretchen was by herself that weekend before she called in sick because her daughter was with her dad. And by the way, they're all living in Jupiter, Florida at this point. One could think that the pandemic hit her hard, but she was posting things and she was even saying things, keeping things light, saying, hey, she was catching up on all her TV shows like so many other people. So nothing too out of the ordinary, it would seem. However, people did start to notice that she was posting things and texting, but no one was ever hearing anything back. She wasn't responding to what they were saying. Not until she started letting people know her pandemic status, that is. Starting to tell her friends that not only is she not really feeling that well, but that she has tested positive for the seemingly deadly COVID. This can seem like very bad news to so many people, but she had a positive outlook about that too. She communicated that she was at a CDC center and that center only treats COVID cases. And on top of that, her blood type can actually be used for the cure. She follows up all of that with a weird statement, or actually series of statements, if you will, saying that she needs to work with her daughter and immediate family members only because of this special blood type they're working on. And they have different things that are going on behind the scenes. And so she really isn't supposed to spread the word about any of that. So really, all people know is that there was hope for her. But in the meantime, she was sick and at some facility that only treats COVID and working with those special blood types. She even said, while she's communicating, that she would be put into a medically induced coma so that people would not be surprised if they didn't hear from her. Okay, so her first ex-husband, he's getting these texts as well. And it was he who started to first think that things were just off. He knew her. He knew how she wrote things. He knew how she said things. And in a lot of cases out there, this is how it is, right? There's someone missing, but the people close to this person notice that what they're communicating isn't really with the way that that person would be talking. Well, he noticed this. He still cared about Gretchen, of course, and their 12-year-old daughter. And with Gretchen being his ex and his daughter's mother, he wanted to make sure that everything was okay. And his intuition was still bothering him, so he decides to call the police. He wanted a welfare check, but when they got to her house, nothing really seemed odd, so that stopped there. He tried all the hospitals, but she didn't appear to be in any of those either. And the police were helping with this, so they were doing a very thorough search of the hospitals during this pandemic of where she could be. Okay, so you're starting to get the gist. I mean, things are already starting to seem a bit strange, but they get even stranger. Her first husband starts doing his own real deep snooping around, and it turns out that he does find something. He finds her car in the Jupiter Medical Center car park. This prompts another visit to her home. the police are involved again, and getting there, a woman approaches them, a neighbor, saying that she too heard from Gretchen and got a text. She gets this text that Gretchen is sick, but then that very same day, she says that she hears screaming, and the screaming sounds serious. It was very loud, sounded like someone was being attacked. As the police start talking to other neighbors, the scream sounds are backed up, and another neighbor even says that he thought he saw something like a liquid seeping out of Gretchen's garage. The police need to go in deeper, and what did they find? Well, inside the house, it looks like a struggle took place. Someone was in there, and they were fighting. There was broken glass around, towels that looked like they were used in some sort of cleanup. And Gretchen had in-home cameras for security, but they found those to be missing. So they go back to the first neighbor and they ask, "Why did you never call the police when you heard these screams? Clearly, something happened here." And the neighbor says, well, they didn't call the police at the time because they just weren't sure what was going on, but they did take a picture of a truck that was outside in her driveway. And they took a picture of this truck because they knew it wasn't Gretchen's. So they were sketched out enough to get the photo, but they were a little too timid to call the police. The police look into this, though, and later find out that the truck belongs to a man who was known as, formerly known as, David Deutsch. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of this story where I mentioned Gretchen and David. Gretchen and David Anthony, though. Well, David Deutsch is David Anthony. Goes by Anthony now. Gretchen and David get together after her divorce from Jeff. He's working at a local Orange Fitness as a personal trainer, and she meets him there. And Gretchen, too. She was trying to keep up with her fitness, so they have something in common right off the bat. David did different fitness challenges and trainings and things, and he was very into his physical fitness. However, he also suffered from low self-esteem. It reminds us that when we see someone that is, in his case, probably tan in Florida, looking very physically fit, it might make others envious or jealous even at first. But you never know what's going on behind the scenes. Inside, David was not so solid. The guy had depression, that was clear. His family even took it a bit further, calling him bipolar. However, he never did get diagnosed. He wasn't medicated. He decided that exercising and working out was great for his mental health and that that would be enough. However, as we learn over time, something as severe as bipolar needs more than just working out. Working out is certainly not a cure for this. That said, David was maintaining. For all intents and purposes, the guy looked happy, and when he met Gretchen, they both seemed happy. They fell in love with each other, and everything was going great. All the way up to the day when he got down on one knee and proposed. What Gretchen didn't know, though, is that part of David's maintaining in his life was that he liked to surround himself with successful people. Gretchen came across as all of that, so it's not really clear whether he actually was in love with her or she was just enough to add another person that was successful around him. Not very clear to any outsiders. Was he just finding a place for her in his life because it was something he needed for his mental health? Either way, he started out as her personal trainer and eventually they got married. And that was in 2015. Quick marriage in Vegas after a very short and sweet engagement. Seems like a nice place to start. A new life in Florida? Well, think again. David's mental health continued its decline. It would have a devastating effect on their new marriage, and they would separate off and on from time to time. Gretchen was becoming more and more aware of his issues, but David just refused to get professional help. He was physically fit, going strong, getting exercise. What else could he possibly need? Well, this isn't a good mix for a marriage, no matter how you look at it. David was on his own island. He was spiraling down fast. Gretchen couldn't take it. And then David starts to believe and talk about the world ending. And that's when things really started to peak. It got so bad that, as an example, I can share with you that there was a day randomly that he packs up his truck with just a bunch of random stuff, including things like pots and pans. And then he takes off without telling anyone anything, only to return a day later. Gretchen was still living there, but she wasn't really feeling secure. This isn't what she wanted. she started sleeping in another room. The cameras got added so that she could watch what he was doing. She said they were for security, and they were, but she also wanted to use them to find out what David was up to. And she wasn't even a person that was into snooping. Gretchen really wanted a free life that she could share with someone, but her trust was being broken and fear was setting in. Panicking, she starts to go through her things one holiday season. This is in 2019. And she's looking for stuff, but she's finding out that all of her personal stuff, things like her social security card, her identity, it's all been slowly stowed away and packed up by David. And I'm talking about like her passport and license, things like that. This definitely puts her over the edge. And by February, she was out and filing for divorce. David doesn't know what to do, and he ends up moving in with his mother. The only thing he really had left in his life at that point was the fact that he was a trainer, still exercised. He did still have his job as the trainer, but people there at his gym were even starting to think that things were getting more strange. The guy definitely knew how to stay fit and he knew how to train, don't get me wrong, but he was becoming more aggressive in his training and his moods were becoming unstable. It was also being noticed that he had a particular annoyance for women. His emotions were out of control. That's all there was to it. And it led him to one of the worst days that he had, where he actually collapsed at the gym on the floor and started bawling, telling everyone that the world was going to end. This guy had reached a low point, and it ended up leading him right to Gretchen's front door. He went back to her. He was so out of control that she did let him in for a few, and then later he was seen wandering those streets, approaching teenage girls, mumbling and mumbling, and somehow going off on the death of Kobe Bryant, something that seemed to hit him in an incredibly personal way. No one really understood that one. The police do catch up with him, and he's just continuing to mumble, talking about Kobe and talking about how he's afraid of the police. He's eventually charged with resisting arrest, and he ends up spending a few days in jail. So all of this is going on. In the meantime, something is happening to Gretchen around all of this. And so the search continues, right? After Gretchen's out of jail for a few days, the police follow up to try to find Gretchen. They believe that David is at his mother's house, so that's where they go. They need more answers. Their search for Gretchen never stopped. The mother eventually does get out that her son told her he was going to Costa Rica. So while this is happening, the footage comes in from the hospital parking lot where Gretchen's car was found. Okay, so we have the car, Gretchen's car in the local hospital parking lot, and David's off in Costa Rica. Well, on his way anyway, apparently he packed up his truck, took his dog, and was stopping at pawn shops along the way selling women's jewelry for cash. You know the criminals, they always like to do this, but it's obvious. He's, of course, tracked down. They were behind him only by a few days, but they do end up finding him in Texas. They don't have him in physical custody when they know that he's in Texas quite yet, but they know that he's there, and they make all of law enforcement in Texas aware of this. When they do get closer to him and get him on the phone, he starts to say some new things. None of it is truth, of course. He tells the police that everything is fine, that Gretchen's actually with him. She's just napping in the back of the truck. He goes into some crazy, bizarre story about how Gretchen's on the run and there's COVID involved and assassins and everything like that. Very strange, totally out there, and obviously not true. When they do catch up to him for real, not just over the phone, his story changes just a tad. Gretchen is no longer with him because she just isn't, of course, so they can see that, but he babbles on that he's just not quite sure. He plays dumb. He doesn't really know where she went. He's obviously lying, but there's just no proof at this point that he has anything to do with where Gretchen is, so they have no choice but to let him go. Not that they want him to leave the country or anything. And you know, law enforcement officials by default usually know more than the public knows or even the people involved in the case. While David's thinking to himself that he got off, he's walking away, more partners in the law enforcement community are reviewing the footage that they found from Gretchen's cameras. So the cameras were missing, but the footage was still there. She still had that recorded. So what did they find? Well, they find David dressed entirely in black, setting up to take Gretchen. He gets her. He seems to force her inside of his car. And hey, you know how everyone's afraid that Alexa records everything? Well, she does, and she did. She records all the screams the neighbors heard, screams from Gretchen calling for help. David didn't think of this pre-recorded footage. He just got in the car, grabs the cameras, and he thinks he's done. David didn't think of this at all. Did you guys know, just a point of trivia for you, that criminals make at least on average, okay, about 25 errors or mistakes when they commit a crime? This one's pretty obvious. Sometimes they're harder to find, but hey, that's why we have our great detectives. Okay, well, after all of this happens, the police become more informed. They end up tracking David down again. This time, he's in Las Cruces. And this time, they do have enough to actually arrest him, and it's for murder. Well, he plays dumb all over again, and he does an excellent job at it, continuing his story that he was traveling with Gretchen, and she was fine. He tries to keep going. The police just shoot him down, though, tell him that they have the video proof. They have him covering her mouth, silencing her screams, shoving her into his vehicle in the garage. But he still sticks to his story, telling them that they're just trying to pressure him and that, really, she's alive and well somewhere. But nothing he can do can stop the charges. He gets it all, kidnapping along with second-degree murder. They eventually break him down, and they eventually find Gretchen's body. This all gives our criminal David a promotion right into first-degree murder. They find Gretchen stabbed to death and left in a Walmart patch of grass. She wasn't even that far from home. In the end, David admits to everything and pleads guilty to second-degree murder on a deal and gets 38 years in prison. They really wanted to give David life, but because of the plea, he agreed to tell them where Gretchen's body was, so they all settled on the second-degree murder. It's a tragedy all around. During a pandemic when everyone was already totally alone, Gretchen was reaching out for help, trying to separate herself from someone that she thought would bring her harm. She was lost in the sea of all people trying to hide out during those times, and her killer actually used the pandemic as an excuse for her absence. This is pure evil. The second tragedy around this is the breakdown of the mental state. Here is a man that on the outside looked together. The couple looked happy. He was a seemingly healthy person, physically fit, and at the admiration of many. But on the inside, he was breaking down, falling apart, losing it. He thought the world was ending. It is ironic, but he brought on the end of his own world. This does happen. Our self-energy and our secret wills that we carry around with us will come true if we concentrate hard enough on them. David avoided help, chose his fantasy instead, and now he will sit with it alone himself for many years to come. Keep it positive out there and real, people. Thank you for listening, and until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.